Welcome to FBL Kopi Talks podcast, where we chat about our perfectly unhealthy obsession that is FBL. I am ABK, also known as FBL Folk on Twitter.
I am Lukman, and you can find me at FBL Kopi Talks on Twitter. We are recording this episode on the 6th of February. We are about an hour or so away from the Liverpool versus Cardiff game in the FA Cup. We are about to get team news soon in about 10 minutes. In this episode, we will be reviewing the final game in Game Week 23. And also, we'll be looking towards Game Week 24.
Yeah. Also, in this episode, we'll be talking about various topics. The first topic being Salah's availability to play in Game Week 24 after Egypt went the distance for the AFCON. We'll also be talking about the transfer roundup, basically what our favorite FPL assets from the January transfer window and what are the assets that we don't quite like. And and last one, we'll also be chatting about the double game week fixtures that has been announced. And we'll also talk about some of our chip plans when it comes to the double game week. So just right. grab your beverage of choice, preferably kopi, and listen along to us.
Yeah, so let's go straight to King. After a long 2 weeks, now the hope that I had like for these 2 weeks suddenly came crashing down with just another 1 point for my captain. For yours also, right?
Yeah. I have King as my captain as well. But anyway, it feels good just to be back after 2 weeks of no FPL. As an FPL manager, it's always hard. This breaks, whether be it winter break or international break, it's always a lull in my life.
Yeah, but it's the hope that kills. You know, 2 weeks I wait slowly for my captain, and then like anticlimactic, right? Just one more point. It's the hope that kills, but this is too very long. It's quite horrible, this the 2 week wait for the final game to end the game week. Yeah, but should we just crack on and talk about the game straight away?
Yeah, sure. Let's do that.
So I didn't wake up at 2 a.m. Do you wake up at 2 a.m. to watch
the
game?
So I was actually up until 2 a.m. yesterday because I had my relatives over. And then it just so happens that my relatives left at 2 a.m. So I had some time to watch it, but at the time I was really tired, and the game wasn't the most exciting of games. So I slept after 30 minutes and watched the highlights in the morning after. Yeah, but I did watch a bit of the game. Just a bit about how we waited so long for King to deliver, but he did nothing again. This game, it's a bit unlucky because there was actually a penalty shout that was quite strong, and if it was given and if King were to score that penalty, it would have been a good week for me. It would have changed my week from bad week to a good week. But anyway, I mean things happen as it is. Watching the game, it was Weghorst's first game for Burnley in the Premier League. I think it was quite a Premier League initiation for him. It was a cold, rainy night in Burnley. He had to come into. But in terms of his performance, there wasn't much I could gather from watching that 30 minutes from him. I didn't think he looked fantastic, but I didn't think he looked particularly bad either. Yeah. But for me, Kone still looked the sharper one of the two up front, the strike partnership up front. Yeah.
So for me, as expected, right, Watford, they set up under Hodgson in a 4-4-2. So Kucha was the right wing, and then Ken Sema was the left wing. Actually, Ken Sema, I think, quite a decent player, I think. But then going forward, right, you know, Ismail Assar, he's back, you know, he played for Senegal, is it? Or Nigeria?
Senegal.
Yeah, so he played. So he will be expected to play right wing, in my opinion. That's probably his spot over Kuchka. And then the left wing spot, I don't know how he's going to fit in. Your Pedro King, and then that will be interesting to watch. I'm afraid as a King owner, they might put King on the left wing, because I think King is the out of those three, right? King is the most like hardworking out of the three, like in my opinion. So and the 4-4-2, right? The wingers, right? They do a lot of defensive work. So like if they're not that attacking, like Kuchka and Sema in the game, they are very much defensive wingers. So I'm afraid if King plays that left wing, I think that would be horrible for us King owners. But then in that case, if Dennis is playing on top, I think that's good news. But I don't know, we have to wait and see. What do you think? Who will play in the left wing and the striker in the next game?
It's hard for me to tell.
Hard to tell.
Really.
Yeah, hard to
but
tell,
right? I think right wing's spot is nailed. Ismail Assar nails it. Up top, could be Dennis and
Pedro or King. But I think Ken Sema is not bad. I think he might play left wing. I think he's a good defensive winger. I don't know. I think the Hawks like that kind of player. So I think he might keep a spot. So he's either Dennis, King, and Yao Pedro for the two spots. So
I'm sure it'll be a rotation in the end. He'll be rotating players. I don't think besides Ismail Elsa, I don't think anyone is nailed in the team. In terms of
going forward, if anyone has both King and Dennis,
what
do you think they should do? So you have to sell one, definitely sell one. But who to sell? That's the tricky part, in my opinion.
Yeah, I feel that King, he can play on the left and he can also play up front.
Yeah. I think Dennis, King is more nailed.
I think King out of the three is the most nailed player, so I would go for King in the end. But I
so
think
I
still think Dennis is a more dangerous player than King, despite his what he did for some of us managers in this game week, getting a red card when in a game week where everyone captained him. I think he still is a better player, more dangerous player than King. But
that's the tricky part to who to sell, because if King plays left wing and then Dennis plays out front, then if you sell Dennis, that is the wrong move. So it's really, really difficult to gauge who to sell. But I guess you can keep them for one more week and see one more game under Hoxton when Dennis is back, and then you can reassess before the game week 26 double. Yeah, but it's really tough for me to tell. If I have both, I really wouldn't know who to sell first. I'll probably sell Dennis just because King, I guess he's still on penalties and he's slightly more nil because he can play left wing. I don't know. Dennis can still play left wing, but I think King in a 4-4-2 is more, he's more suitable in a wing in a 4-4-2. We'll wait to see.
João Pedro actually ended up this game with the highest XG. A game between Watford and Burnley. It's not very indicative of how good he is as a player. But I mean, it's just a side note. And I feel that, I mean, I've been shouting João Pedro for the longest time. I like,
you should get him, bro. You should get him.
So my plan, I think eventually, because right now it's just a luxury move to move from King to João Pedro. But in my wildcard, I think he's definitely in my considerations given the forward options that we have this year. Yeah.
Yeah. So slightly. One more thing. Anything else you want to add on Burnley?
Not on Burnley, but on Watford. I mean, we have to talk about Watford keeping their first clean sheet of the season. I want to ask you whether that is a result of Roy Hodgson coming in, or was it just incidentally that their first game his first game is against Burnley, which is
the Burnley factor.
I think yes, correct. Yeah.
So I think if you have Foster right, and then the double gimme 26, I think. I still, if you have a transfer and you can sell him for like a day here, no. Who else? If you have Ramsdale, if you don't have Ramsdale, you want a double in 26. I don't know. I would still sell Foster. I wouldn't play him a double, but I guess that's a luxury transfer. But if you could, I think I would still sell Foster.
Yeah, I think Foster is the best fodder to own at 4.1. If anyone's looking to looking for more funds in their team, they don't want to play two expensive keepers in their team. What Foster is just someone to look to.
I don't know. We will talk about transfers. Actually, okay, I'll touch about Burnley, and then after that we forgot to tell our score, our game week score, but we do that after I touch on Burnley a bit.
Sure.
So couple of assets that caught eye stats wise, right? Peters, what's his full name?
Eric Peters.
Yes, Eric Peters. He had three shots. Total three shots and one in the box. So he is 4.2 million. However, Charlie Taylor is not on the bench. So I think he's still injured. So maybe he's not nailed. But 4.2 million, he was quite attacking. And also Connor Roberts, he had the second highest final third touches throughout the whole game out of all players. So, I didn't watch the game. I only watched the highlights. But looking at the stats, shows that he's quite attacking. He's 4.5 million. And Loughton was on the bench. So Connor Roberts I feel like he's nailed, because Dutch doesn't really change his team, right? Especially after a clean sheet. So Connor Roberts at 4.5 million for the double game, it could be an option because he is quite attacking in his position that he takes up. Yeah. Anything else to add on Burnley?
So if you're looking at Burnley's defensive assets, for me, Tarkowski is still the best asset for me. But he's still 5 million. And to put him in your defense at 5 million that you need, it's not cheap, basically. So 4.5 Connor Roberts is one to look out for. Yeah.
I feel like If you want to go Burnley, I think he's the one.
Yeah, he has the higher average position. Yeah.
Yes, correct. I mean, if I think Pope is fine too. If you want to, if you need a goalkeeper, although he's quite expensive, I think he's still a fine pick. Yeah. So, anything else to add on this game?
Nothing much to add on this game.
Okay, so I'll just go through my game week, because we forgot to do this. So
yeah.
I basically end up with 36 points, just 1 point ahead, above the average. I think I just had a small green arrow, like very, very small, like one from 150 to 140, very small green arrow. So I'll just rattle through my team. I have Rambo in goal, Cancelo, Lamptey, Trent, Bowen, Bruno, Saka, Jota, Broha, King captain with just 6 points, and then Antonio. Yeah, my bench was Johnson, who didn't turn up, Reguilón didn't turn up, and of course, I still have Salah in my team, actually. So Salah is my bench, and Bachmann, of course. Yeah, so right. 36 points. How about your team?
I have the exact same points as you, 36 points.
Oh, really? Yeah. No hit, right? No hit, right?
Okay. No hit. I didn't take any hits.
Okay, yeah.
Ramsdale in goal. Lamptey and Alonso, 1 point each. They didn't start the game. They came on as a substitute. Cancelo and Alexander-Arnold with both 2 points each. I got De Bruyne. De Bruyne was my transfer this week. 8 points. I got Rafinha and Madison both with 2 points. And my forward line is Watkins, King and Ronaldo. Watkins and Ronaldo with 2 points. And then King with 3 points, who's my captain. And basically that gives me six points from him.
Yeah, I'm so looking forward total to see 36 your transfers.
Points and small green arrow. Yeah, I have quite an interesting transfer plan, but
okay, we'll talk about this at the end. Okay. Okay, should we move on to the hot topic? So the first one, you want to talk about the F1. So basically, tonight is the final. Oh, the third and fourth was last night, right? Okay, yeah. that doesn't really matter. So the final tonight is Senegal against Egypt. So Salah against Mane. So why don't you tell me your thoughts? Do you think he will play in Gaming 24?
Yeah, that's one of the biggest talking points of this week, right? Whether Salah and Mane will play in game week 24. I think Klopp has came out with some comments on it. He mentioned that the winner of the game will probably have to go back to his home country for a parade, and then the loser would just have to come home, I guess. Yeah, so I haven't been following the AFCON, so I wouldn't have an idea of who win the AFCON. I would want Salah to win the AFCON because I feel that will look good in his portfolio when if he's going to be nominated for the Ballon d'Or this year, and I think that's a very important win for him if Egypt wins it. But in terms of availability, my sense, I feel that especially if Salah were to win the AFCON, my sense is that he won't start the Leicester game. And the reason why I say this is because I think Liverpool is going to have a fixture pileup all the way until all throughout February. They're going to have a lot of games. So him coming back from the AFCON with so much games he's played, and the fact that all the other Premier League players had a two-week break, I think it makes sense to just give him that 1 week break before getting him started again. So I feel that 24, if Salah wins, I don't think he'll be on the bench, I think, for the Leicester game. I don't think he'll start it. Yeah.
Okay, for me, I agree. I think he will be involved. Both Mane and Salah. Okay, the reason why I think both of them will be involved, right? If they're not injured, right? Let's say they're just fatigued and all, they will still be involved. Because Liverpool, right, they don't have the lineup against Cardiff, it just came out. Ox, I believe he's not fit at the moment. So we don't have Ox. Ox is not even on the bench for the Cardiff game. So basically we have Minamino, Jota, and Firmino. Do realize that Liverpool is missing both Salah and Mane. So I'm sure I think there's still a slight chance either one or Salah or Mane will play, because I don't think we will play Minamino in a front three in the Premier League. I don't think he's cut out yet. I mean, not his fault. Like. I mean, he's just not there, not up there. So I believe, right, either one or Jota and Salah will play. And then as a Salah owner, I really hope Salah is the one. So I think the one that whether one of them win, I think it matters because they come back a day after. Right.
Right.
But I feel like it doesn't really matter in a way, because if both of them are like equally like fatigue, right, I think Salah will get the nod over Mane, because Jota can play on the left and Jota can't really, he can play on the right, but he's not effective. So I think I'll put it a higher chance that Salah will start, but I believe, right, barring any injury, right, if he's just fatigue, right, both of them will be involved, both of them will be in the squad, and I have a slight feeling I'm still confident that Salah will play, because we don't have any other options. Because Ox is injured. Even if Ox is fit, right? I mean, he's also not a front three player, you know. So, you know, I mean, there's a slight feeling. I mean, there's slight hope as Salah owner that he will play. And I mean, spoilers alert, I'll probably still captain him. Not because I'm confident that he will start, because I don't really have other good options in mind. So, yeah, I still think they'll both be involved because we are still gunning. I mean, the fact that we have a lot of games after that, of course it matters. But I guess he can play 60 minutes and against Burnley, he can come off early if we are up 3-0 or something. You know, it's still possible for him to rest while still playing. Yeah, so.
I think from a fantasy perspective, if you don't have Salah in your team, then I don't think you should buy Salah for this game week.
Agreed.
But if you have Salah in your team, you should play Salah in your team.
Okay, let's go there. So Liverpool double in 26. So that you don't have Jota, right? Okay, I'm talking though, if you have Jota, right, I think you definitely have to keep him for the double. As a non-Jota owner, like you only have Trent at the moment, right? Who are you planning to bring in for the double 26? Are you tripling up or doubling up?
This is part of my transfer plans.
Okay. Just like general advice for okay. Let's say somebody has only they have I'll just give a general advice. I think that the double is really tasty, right? So I believe you need to go all in. You have to have triple. So it's either between Jota or Robo, right? So for me, right, if you don't have either Jota or Robo, right, I think it's safer to buy Robo. Okay, let's transition to why I feel like Robo is better than Jota. It's because of the certain new signing called Luis Diaz. Okay, so do you want to go first on Luis Diaz or should I go first?
You go ahead. We'll just start talking about the transfers now, basically, right?
Okay. Okay. So basically, yep. Okay, Luis Diaz. Okay, obviously, when he first got announced, I was all super stoked. I was like, yes, finally, Liverpool was aggressive in the transfer market. Actually, the fact that we bought him is because Spurs actually approached him, right? Because like from all accounts, right, from all the close journalists around Liverpool, right, they keep saying that generally we will not do any business. So I wasn't really expecting anyone to come in. So the fact that we actually bought him is because it's quite because of Spurs wanted to buy him, right? That's the only reason why we bought him, which is crazy, lah. But okay, so basically, I know of him. Like, we played against him this season twice and he was basically the best player. Like, not only for Porto, I think in the game. I mean, he played really well in that game as a left wing. So basically, yeah, I'll just tell you who he reminds me of. Like, his dribbling reminds me of like a bit of Luis Suarez. So like his dogged style, his drive, he's like, there's an unconventional nature about him, like, you know. But then like, FPL-wise, right, okay, I'll just go straight to FPL. Short term, right, Klopp will definitely ease him in. Into the first team. So I think Jota, there's no worry for Jota. Although, right, he plays mainly on the left wing, right? But Mane still is capable of playing up front. So, I mean, Jota could be hampered, like, his minutes, but not in the short term. Yeah, anyway, I'll go back to, Tim Vickery, right? The go-to guy. I listened to the BBC football phone-in, right? He's the go-to guy on South American football. Right. So Colombia hasn't scored any goal in the qualifiers for the last 7 games.
Yep.
And Luis Diaz played all of them. So, like, it kind of, like, brought me down to earth, like, maybe I shouldn't be so enthusiastic about him, like. And he also, like, I mean, Tim Vickery had his reservations on him, like. He said something like he's a scorer of great goals rather than a great goal scorer. So I guess it depends on how Klopp molds him, like. I mean it's all about coaching now and how he can develop to be a great goal scorer instead of a scorer of great goals. Yeah, so the fact that, I mean, Colombia now might not even qualify for the World Cup, right? He hasn't scored in 7 games. That's crazy. Yeah. 7 games and he played all 7 and Colombia never scored. So it's a bit worrying, lah. I mean, that the World Cup qualifier is a big stage, you know. So I guess, and Colombia is not like a small nation, they're quite a big nation. So the fact that he didn't score is quite worrying. Yeah, what do you think of him?
Yeah, so for me, he's a bit of an unknown quantity. I don't follow football outside of Premier League football, so I wouldn't be able I haven't watched any South American football as well, so yeah, I wouldn't be able to comment on how he is as a player. Just from a fantasy perspective, I think there would be rotation. There will be lesser minutes basically for Jota, for Firmino, for Mane, for Luis Diaz. I do agree with you on Luis Diaz being eased into the team. It's a typical move by Klopp. Every time he gets a new signing, he will slowly bait them into the team. He wouldn't throw them in. I don't think it will affect any of Salah's minutes. I think Salah is nailed on that right side. It's just the rest of the attacking players that we're looking at. Yeah. So I think it's indicative of something if Conte wants to go for this guy. I think Conte is a very shrewd is very good at making signings. He knows exactly what he wants for his team. So with him being linked to Tottenham and Liverpool hijacking that move, I think that is kind of a sign that he might be a player that could be good for the Premier League. Yeah.
Anyway, he's on the bench for the Cardiff game.
So it'll be interesting to see if he does come on. Yeah.
So you want some time to rant about Arsenal non-transfer?
Yes, of course. Yeah, that's what we have this podcast for.
Okay, let's go. I'll give you the stage.
Yeah. So for Arsenal transfer window, as you know, we didn't make any signings at all. There was this one, actually two signings that we made for the summer, but in terms of the squad now, I felt that this transfer window, we have significantly and unnecessarily weakened our team. We've had so many outgoings, and our team is basically, I don't know, if you are optimist, then you call it lean. If you are pessimist, then you call it bare bones. So I feel that there hasn't been any changes to the first 11. I think the first 11, the best 11 that we have is still in the squad. But what worries me is there's any major injuries for one or two of players. I think it will really impact how the team plays, how the team competes for top four at the end of the season. So it's a bit worrying to me. I mean, especially because we were linked with so many people this January transfer window, centre mids and strikers, but we got none of it now. So it is worrying for me to hear that. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang.
Yes, let's talk about him. You're okay to see him go, right, I'm sure.
Yes, yes. I'm okay to see the back of him. I think he hasn't performed at the level that we expect him to for the past year already. And I think that move is actually a pretty okay move. I'm not sure how much Arsenal is paying to get that move done. I heard some reports of it being a $2 million or paying him off $2 million or $7 million. But anyway, I think Aubameyang isn't the player he once was for us. I do think that he would improve the Barcelona squad at the moment. I think the Barcelona squad doesn't have an out-and-out striker that's really is firing on all cylinders at the moment. But in terms of the Arsenal team, I think he's passed it already. I think the only worry is that Arsenal didn't sign a striker at this season. But I think what a positive, and as in, so if I want to look at it in a positive light, I'm glad we didn't make any signings out of panic, you know, like we didn't, as in, so it's bad that we didn't get any strikers, yes, but I'm also happy that we didn't overpay for anyone. I mean, we had the there was talks about us paying for Alexander Isak's release clause at 90 million. And basically, clubs knew that we were desperate to get a striker. Correct. And so they would definitely overcharge us. So, I mean, it's a good thing that we didn't overpay for any strikers. But I just want to just add one more note on the Arsenal transfer window. I think the person that I felt the most perplexing this window why we let him go was Callum Chambers, right? I think Callum Chambers is a good squad player. He can play on the right as a right back. He can play centre back. He can play DM as a squad player. I really didn't
almost
understand.
For nothing, right?
It's almost for nothing. It was out of nowhere. We didn't even hear reports of anything. I did hear reports of holding linked to Newcastle, but I've never heard Callum Chambers being linked. And I felt like it just didn't make sense from an Arsenal perspective, for a Villa perspective, and from a Chambers perspective, or why this would work for anyone, you know?
Maybe he wants his partner moving to the Midlands, you know, for a new job. He wants to relocate something.
Yeah.
But Arsenal shouldn't let him go. I mean, he's contracted to Arsenal, right? Yeah, almost selling him to almost for nothing is a bit weird. True. Good point. But who are the players that you offloaded this summer? Let's
we offloaded Aubameyang, Callum Chambers.
Hey, wait. Aubameyang is on loan, is it?
No. Aubameyang is gone. Signed.
So if he hits the ground running at Barcelona, you guys won't benefit at all.
I'm not sure whether there are any clauses that help with that, lah. If it's
let's transition straight to Kulusevski, because Arsenal was linked to him, right? I feel like he didn't make sense to Arsenal because he's a right winger, a left-footed right winger, and you guys, your best player in my opinion is a right winger, left footed, and you guys have a 73 million right winger, left footed right winger. So I don't think it makes more sense to go to Spurs. Actually, Diaz, right, didn't make sense to go Spurs because he's basically playing in the Sun position.
Right, yeah.
I mean, Sun will have to play right wing. So it didn't really make sense to buy Diaz. I think Kulusevski makes more sense because he's right winger and he's left footed, right? I mean, they don't have that. They have Lucas Moura, but it's a different dimension, right? As a left footer. Yeah, so I mean, that didn't make sense for Arsenal to go for him. I think it makes more sense for Spurs. And also for Diaz, I don't think it makes sense for him to go to Spurs because of the Sun factor, because they are similar-ish players in the same position.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, but then one more signing is the one Arsenal didn't buy is the Bruno Guimaraes. Right. I feel like, why didn't Arsenal just pay him however he wants? I think he from the looks of it, he's quite the baller. So I don't know, that's quite weird for me, that Arsenal didn't buy him. For him to play against Newcastle, he can easily play in the Championship next season. It's quite weird that he actually went to Newcastle. I mean, obviously, I know he quadrupled his wages or something, but Arsenal also can afford, I guess.
Yeah. It was perplexing to me that we didn't go for Bruno Guimaraes when he was available. And I think if he was given a choice to go between Arsenal and Newcastle, a team either playing the Championship next year or a team that could possibly, if he contributed, could play in the Champions League next year, I didn't understand why.
And also the London factor,
why he wouldn't want to go. So, there has to be something that Mikel Arteta sees that he feels that we don't need him in the team.
But the Isak factor, it makes sense that it will be a flop. I mean, paying that much, the pressure and all, it could be a flop. The closest striker is who? The one that you guys almost got. What's some name, right?
I'm not sure. The end, there was this other Espanol striker that we're linked to. I
Iago Aspas, no?
It was a very Lucas Perez signing, but he was expensive. I think he's actually the second top scorer of the La Liga or something.
Thomas or something, right?
I can't.
You guys need Eduardo da Silva, man. Is he still playing? You remember him not?
Let's bring back.
Okay, let's just move on. Okay, we talk about Kulusevski. Okay, what are your thoughts on Kulusevski?
Yeah, so Conte came out to talk about him as a player. He said he could play different positions on the right, of course, and he could also play number 9, number 10. He did mention, and I think interestingly, he also mentioned the position of right wing back. So that could be an interesting move for Kulusevski. I think he's still a young player. He's still quite raw.
21 is quite young, very young.
Yeah, I mean, he's still quite young. I think he's played in Parma and Juventus. Like I said, I don't really follow much football outside of Premier League, but I did watch the Euros last season, and Sweden had him. I think he was quite okay for Sweden. I think he was recovering from an injury at that point. So I think it's quite interesting signing for Tottenham. I think it does improve their squad. It gives a different, like you mentioned, it gives a different dimension from Lucas Moura in that team. And if he is going to play, if Conte has plans for him to play right wing back, I think Conte has a history of converting players that are typically wingers to fantastic right wing backs. I think, i.e. Victor Moses. So it could be interesting to see, but I think it's still too early to tell. I think the other signing that they made, Tottenham this season, I think that could be, I think for me personally, is the better signing. So Kulusevski, I think it's on loan. But
yes, 18 months. It's a weird structure. Oh, so 18
it's,
months.
It's a long loan.
It's a low risk. Basically, there's no risk to Spurs. If he makes it, you can easily buy him. If you don't make it, you can just offload him for nothing. Yeah. So it's a good signing. Okay, I was listening to Ned Deadhall, right? FPL Gabe. It's an FPL Lens Gabe, right? He said Spurs bought a donkey in Kulusevski. A bit harsh, in my opinion. I feel like if Conte wants a player, right, I'm sure, you know, Conte is a good manager. I'm sure he will have a system for him to play in. I mean, I'm sure that he will be an interesting lookout at 6 million in FPL, right? I think it's quite interesting. Okay, we'll talk about that later when we choose our top 3, but I think it's quite interesting, as you say. So let's move on to White Horse.
On top of just a side note on Rodrigo Bentancur. the other signing right. that Tottenham made. I think I just want to talk a bit about him to move on a bit. Before we move on, I just want to talk about him a bit. I think what I read about him is that he's a tireless runner. He's a very hardworking central midfielder. He's also pretty young, actually.
24.
He's 24 years old. But what I've read about him is that he's not really good with the ball at his feet, and his passing isn't the best as well. But I feel that it's okay because I think in the Conte system, I think Conte knows exactly how he wants to play. Conte is quite sure of the tactics he wants to play, and he can train players to play in positions within the team to fit into that system. So I think being hardworking and being a tireless runner, I think it's really advantages and plus points to a player, and it'll be interesting to see how fits in the Premier League. He's quite a tall player as well.
My only reservation on Bentancur, right, he's primarily a six, a defensive mid. And he and Højbjerg are, I think they are similar players. So I don't know how that work in a double pivot, because they're gonna play 3-4-3, right? I feel. So maybe Højbjerg and Bentancur, I don't really see how that work with them two being very similar. So yeah, that's my only reservation on him. But he's a good player. I mean, he's 24 years old. I'm sure that even if he's a flop or Spurs can easily have, he has resale value. I mean, he's a good signing all around. But I just have my reservations on him and Højbjerg being similar. Being similar, like box to box, kind of like, I don't know. I mean, we'll see. I'm not sure, but yeah. You want to move on to Whitehorse?
Whitecross.
To Burnley?
Whitecross, So I touched a bit on him just now. For me, I mean, first game, there wasn't much to tell about him. But I feel that it's actually quite a good signing for Burnley. For me, it didn't make sense that Newcastle bought Wood for 25 million and Burnley got a replacement, and I think who is equally as good or even better than Chris Wood at 12 million. So they basically got a like for like replacement, and they got 12 million from it now. So I think in terms of doing business,
similar age. I think maybe younger. Whitehorse is a bit younger, 2 years younger.
I think they might be younger. I think Chris Wood is 91. I'm not sure how old Vegas is.
92.
Just
1 year younger.
Yeah. So yeah, they got 1 year less also for a player. So and Vegas is a player that has similar attributes to Chris Wood. You know, he's good in the air. And he's not the fastest of players. From what I read about him, he's not really fast. But one thing I read about Vegas, and also watching him in the Euros, I think his attribute is that he's a goal scorer. He knows where to be. To score the goals, you know, like he is always at the right place at the right time, and sometimes for a striker that's a very important instinct to have.
For Euros he didn't, it was Depay and the Don Melon guy, right?
Yeah,
so he came on.
Yeah, I think that there was one game that he started. Yeah, but Depay and Donny Malen played more up front. Yeah,
I mean, his record for the past three seasons, he's got 20 16 and 17 goals in the league. So that's quite impressive. That's way more impressive than Chris Wood. And playing in a poor team in Wolfsburg also. So like, I mean, Bundesliga, I feel like it's as good as the Premier League. So that kind of record for Burnley to buy at that cheap is quite a steal. And for them to sell Chris Wood and still got money spare after buying him is quite a good deal. Quite a good deal for Strandice. Yeah. So, okay, let's quickly move on. Christian Eriksen?
I don't know what to make of the transfer. I'm not sure what Brentford is building. They're building a little Denmark. They got Lossell in this game, transfer window, and they got Christian Eriksen in. But I think we'll see. I mean, only time will tell before we see how Eriksen is. I mean, Eriksen, we all know his quality, his technique on the ball, dead ball specialist. He's very good with his crosses that he play, his free kicks and all that. So I mean, the quality is undeniable, and at his prime he brought Spurs to the peak of where they have been in the past few years now. So I mean, it's a pity what happened to him in the Euros. And I think Inter Milan, he was kind of on a decline already. We see like he wasn't the player he once was. But I think it could be interesting going to a Brentford team that isn't very strong. I think he has the ability to add quality to this Brentford side, I feel. But I think it's just we have to wait and see to see how he performs in there. Any thoughts on him?
So besides the fact that it's a good story like, for him to come back to play, I mean, I have my doubts because Brentford plays a 3-3-5-2 and he's mainly a 10, right? So basically, they have to change their system to fit him in. That's my issue with it. Is he good enough for them to change the system that has worked more or less so far? So I think that's my only issue because I don't see him playing in a midfield 3. So they have to play back to a midfield 2, which I don't think that's how it will be ideal for the other two midfielders. So that's my only worry. They have to so-called reshuffle the system just to fit him in. That's my only issue. But at 5.5 million, also Weghorst at 6.5, Kulusevski at 6 million. These are very enticing prices if they start well, right? I think these are really good price points for these three players. Yeah. And Luis Diaz is 8 million. I think that's okay. That's actually quite good. I mean, especially if he starts, I think 8 million is quite cheap. Yeah. I mean, their price relatively well, I feel like relatively enticing. Yeah. And nothing else to add.
Yeah. So let's so you mentioned all these FPL assets with all their prices, right? This transfer window. Let's do top three. You know, like top three fantasy assets that you want to buy, and top three fantasy assets that you think you should avoid. So
among the new signing, right? Among the new signing.
Among the new signing. So all the January transfer windows, including the ones that were done early as well.
Right, okay, so you have six players in mind, right?
So yeah, so three to look out for, three to avoid.
Okay, yeah. I go first. So the top three to look out for me is, the obvious one is Luka Dean.
Number one for you.
Number one looking, because Matt Target is not there anymore. So they basically have Ashley Young only. So basically he's nailed unless he has one leg. He only can walk in one leg and he won't play. And then Weghorst will be my second. And then Kulusevski. So Weghorst is because, I mean, he's the only striker left, right? I mean, they have Ashley, but I mean, the FA Cup, he and Kone started up front, right?
Right.
Yeah, I think he could be an option, but I still prefer Cornell if I were to go to a Burnley attacker. And then last would be Kulusevski. Just the fact that he's only 6 million, that is really a good price for if he's starting in a front three in a Conte team. I think 6 million is a steal. Yeah, why don't you go for that now?
Yeah, mine is actually quite similar to yours. But just a note, it wasn't an FA Cup game, it was a Premier League game that they played. You mentioned so mine's actually very similar to yours. Mine number one, Luka Dean.
Obvious reasons.
Number two, Wout Weghorst. I think for the value that at 6.5 million, I don't think you buy him with the expectation that he'll score every game. I mean, he's from a Burnley team, but you buy him with the expectation like of someone at a 6.5 million range, maybe someone like Ivan Toney, someone like Chris Wood. I think those are the. I mean, you buy him for that kind of returns. You know, one in three games. And with Burnley having so many games in hand, one in three games wouldn't be such a bad idea. It's buying basically two out of three. Yeah, basically. So him. Okay. Yeah. So anyway, yeah. Like you get my point. Like he has many games in hand. So the third guy, for me, is a different guy from yours. For me, the third one would be Philippe Coutinho. I think he will be interesting for Aston Villa. Aston Villa has many players coming back from the AFCON. They have Bertrand Traoré. They also have Trezeguet that will be coming back from the AFCON. So in terms of attacking assets, it's too many attacking assets and there'll be rotation there. But I still feel that Coutinho is someone that is one to look out for. Among the signings that we made.
Why don't you go to your top three to avoid?
Okay. So top three to avoid, I'll go for number I go with three first, my third one first, then I'll count up. So the third one would be Wood, Chris Wood. I think he's, I don't think you can expect him to have, and at the moment, he's not in anybody's team when he was at Burnley. And I don't think that changes with him going to Newcastle. I think I think Wilson will take his place. I don't think Wood is someone that you want to have in your team at all. And for number two, I also have his teammate, Kieran Trippier, inside as well. I don't, looking at the defensive signings that Newcastle made, I don't think it's strong enough to just justify having Kieran Trippier in your team. Newcastle don't have many games in hand at hand the way that Burnley does. And at 5 million, I don't think he's worth the price at all for me. And yeah. Number one of the fantasy asset to avoid is 6.2 million Dele Alli. I think he's a player that's past it already, you know. He's not the player he once was, and it isn't because of any system that's being played. I think it's because he's as a player, I think he's psychologically, I think he doesn't have that kind of drive or motivation to perform at the level that he's expected to anymore. Yeah, so I feel that Dele Alli in the Everton team, I don't think a change of club will help him, basically. I think he's finished as a player.
Okay, so I have one similar player in your top three. So the player, okay, I'll just go. I'll count down. Okay, the top one to avoid is Luis Diaz. So 8 million, right? As I said earlier, I mean, my points earlier that he will slowly be eased in, but for now, you should avoid. Second is Eriksen. As I said earlier, why you should avoid him. And then my third one is also Dele Alli. But since you said Dele Alli, I will say Van de Beek. Similar reasons. I mean, not similar. I mean, it's more like the team. How, okay, we can transition straight to Everton now, Frank Lampard. Right. So I feel like Frank Lampard is easily one of the worst managers in the league right now, in my opinion. So it's very underwhelming for Everton. I mean, if you look down all the managers, I would say only Eddie Howe is... Or maybe Roy Hodgson is. Maybe Lampard is better than those two managers. Even Eddie Howe, I feel, is better than Lampard. I think Lampard is very poor. So for Everton to go from Conte, Ancelotti down, go Benitez, it's like a really underwhelming, like the slow burn. Then for them to buy both Van de Beek and Alli, right? For me, how are they going to play? So basically, I feel like Lampard likes a 4-3-3, if I'm not wrong. So if they play both Alli and Van de Beek as the eights, right? And then Alan as a six, right? I think that would be disastrous. Like Alan doesn't have the legs anymore. But I don't think he will do that. It's quite suicidal to do that. I feel like he'll play a 4-2-3-1, which means like Dakore and Alan will play the double pivot, which means either Alli or Van de Beek, right? Only one of them can fit in the number 10 role, for example. I don't see how...
At the moment, Dakore is injured. So I got a feeling Donny Van de Beek will stand in to be beside Alan in that two.
Yeah, but he doesn't play. He's more like a 10. So I don't think he can play a double pivot. He didn't play that in Ajax. So I wouldn't put Lampard to play there, because I mean Lampard is a poor manager. And also Everton defense sucks, and he's a bad defensive manager. So I don't see how this is a good appointment for. I mean, I feel like Lampard can get 7, maybe 16 this season. Next season he get 15 place, then it'll be an okay. But then that's the standard. Not because of the manager, because of the players they have, they will still survive the drop. But I mean, other than that, I will say that you just avoid. I mean, if I have DCL, I don't know. I still think he's a sell. I mean, the fact that they don't have any doubles coming around, I will still look to sell DCL. I mean, I really have no faith in Lampard at all. So, what are your thoughts on Lampard? Are you that bleak on him like me?
I don't think I'm as bleak as you on him. I do agree that, I mean, he wasn't the best of managers for Chelsea. But
and Derby, also.
No, but Derby did pretty well with him in charge.
They finished sixth, right? And then they have the highest budget. They bought all the players from Chelsea. Mason Mount, Ashley Cole even played. They have the highest budget in terms of wages. And he didn't even qualify. He didn't even get them promoted. So right. That's not successful.
He was close though, right?
He lost to Aston Villa.
He made the playoff final, but didn't make it, right? I mean that's the as a championship manager, that's for Derby County. I think that
trust me, they had the biggest budget back then. They bought, like, Mason Mount was playing for the team. They had the best
on
team.
Loan, right? I mean, Mason Mount
was on loan. And then again, there's one more myth about Lampard, that he bring in young players. That's a myth, you ask Callum Hudson-Odoi, where is he now? He's a myth. The fact that he brought Mount, is any manager will bring in Mount. I mean, he's such a good player. The fact that they say he will bring younger players. I mean, you see, I don't think he will bring, like, Anthony Gordon Let's see how you do. I mean, yeah. I think that's a myth. He promotes younger players. I think that's a myth. But yeah, let's carry on.
Yeah. So there's this other thing that, because Mason Mount has been playing all his teams. And then there's this thing people are saying that he always wants to like...
his midfielders to be like him.
Yeah,
right?
To be like him. I'm not sure about that. I don't think Mason Mount is a very similar player to Frank Lampard. I think if there's
Connor
anyone...
Connor Gallagher.
Yeah, if anyone that's closest to Lampard at the moment in the Premier League right now, it's Connor Gallagher. But just on Frank Lampard, actually yesterday, the game that Everton played, I think it's against a Championship team. He actually played a 3-4-3. That is quite interesting. I mean, that is different from the tactics he's played in Chelsea. So I think that could be an interesting setup for Everton, a 3-4-3 setup. But I'm not sure if this is
Coleman
something
played,
that... Sorry?
Yeah, I mean, he started Coleman or arriving back. I don't think. Yeah, okay, yeah. Continue.
Maybe he's just trying to ease Patterson to the team. I think there's this right back that they signed also. There's this other left back called Nikolenko. I'm not sure whether that's something that he wants to play in the future, but it could be interesting to see Everton in a 3-4-3. I think they have the players for 3-4-3. I think the back...
Then who will be the front three?
The front three...
Gray? Damari Gray will go out, right?
I think Demarai Gray will go out. Calvert-Lewin will be up front, Richarlison on the left, and Townsend or Gordon on the right.
Gordon, yeah. Maybe lah. Yeah, but Gray is one of their better players this season. I don't think. Yeah, it'd be a shame to leave him out.
Yeah. So, but I mean, in this information also that I don't see how Van de Beek and Ali fits inside lah.
Yeah,
Van de Beek
could possibly
be playing. So both of them weren't available, I think, for this FA Cup game because I think they are cup tight. Both of them were playing for Tottenham and Man U previously. So I'm not sure whether this is a plan for the future. If it's a plan for the future, I'm not sure why he signed Dele Alli for the amount.
Actually, why Van de Beek never go Crystal Palace? Why he made another poor career choice? First go to Man U, that's a poor career choice. Second career, he never learned from his lesson. Now he go to Everton. Why didn't he just go Crystal Palace? A bit. Maybe you don't. They said he doesn't want to move house, but that's ridiculous. Not like he has roots in Liverpool.
Yeah,
or rather in Manchester or whatever, but it's a bit weird for him to go Everton instead of Crystal Palace. Yeah. Anyway, anything else to add?
Nothing else to add. Yeah.
Let's touch on Manchester United. So, anything you want to say about Greenwood?
So there's this. It's not. I wouldn't say it's an allegation anymore. I think it's. I mean, he's been. I think he will be charged and
guilty.
Until charged.
I mean, innocent until proven guilty. Bro.
So the allegation, I don't want to make light of the situation here. I mean, this is a sexual crime, and I think the focus and the main issue should be about the victims of the crime. So, but as an FPL podcast, we do still want to talk about the FPL implications of this and him leaving the team. I do understand that Greenwood is a player that having these allegations against him, it really destroys his career. But I mean, the true victim of the crime is not Greenwood, but it's the his ex-girlfriend, basically. Yeah. So, I mean, he is a promising player. I think a lot of people in England is quite hopeful of his development. I think he's quite promising as a player, and I think it does come as a surprise to me the way he looks, right? He has this baby face and he's quite innocent, right? And then like you hear about what happened, and it's just really quite disturbing to hear. But I don't see him playing anymore for Man U this season. And with Man U getting Martial out on loan to Sevilla as well, this transfer window, I think their attacking options have really diminished from what they started the season with, basically. Yeah. So I think it'll be interesting to see how Rangnick sets up now. I think Rashford and Sancho could be interesting players to look into, and also Anthony Elanga at 5.2 million. I think with all these players out, I think they would have more playing time this season, and I think they could be interesting options to have. But looking at them going out of the FA Cup yesterday against Middlesbrough, didn't look convincing, the Manchester United team. Still not the best of teams to invest in. But they do still have that double game week that is coming up in 25. We'll talk about it later. But any thoughts on Man U?
So basically, I don't touch on the allegations. I mean, it's horrible and all. I mean, the evidence is damning. I'll just move on to the FPL side. So before the FA Cup game, right, my mind is the right wing will probably be Sancho and Lingard, and then left wing will be Rashford and Elanga, because Sancho actually played right wing majority of the time in Dortmund, and then Rashford is not really good on the right, but then in the FA Cup game, right, Rashford was on the right and Sancho was on the left, so I don't know. So I think it just makes Rashford, I think Rashford will eventually be nailed ahead of Elanga in my opinion, so it just makes Rashford and Sancho more nailed. But let's move on to the Man U asset. So now that Pogba is back, right, so I feel like Rodney is playing a 4-2-3-1 now. I think he's done the 4-2-2 idea. So the 4-2-3-1, for me, it makes Ronaldo a bad option, like, in my opinion, because he just can't play in a one. I mean, he can play against weaker teams, of course, but then overall, I think he's a bad option. I think Bruno is a better option. But then also, there's a caveat that Pogba is bad. I think Pogba being bad, right, is also detrimental to Bruno's returns. So I think it's a double-edged sword. So yeah. I mean, Pogba being bad is not good for Bruno, but Bruno is still better than Ronaldo, but then it's less good because of Pogba. I mean, they can play 4-2-3-1 or maybe the 4-3-3. Pogba being and Bruno being the eights, I think, it's not ideal for Bruno. But I still think Bruno against Ronaldo. What do you think?
I at the moment, like you mentioned, this factor of Pogba coming back, we actually haven't really seen Pogba play with Ronaldo in the team. I think there was like maybe one or two games, but I think it will really have a different impact on how the team plays. Pogba, I mean, his quality. It's undoubted. I mean, he's really good as a player. So I just like to have some games to see, to make judgments, lah. So, but from a fantasy standpoint, if you have Bruno for 25, keep him. If you have Ronaldo for 25, keep them.
Keep him, for sure.
They're gonna have the double game week. So, I mean, if whichever of these players that you have, keep them, and if you have none of them, I think what you could look at is maybe also players like Rashford, Sancho. I think those could be interesting players to have in your team for 25.
I will still
cost less than Fernandes and Ronaldo.
I will still go, if you don't have anyone, right, I think I will still go Bruno, because he's probably also more nailed, because there's Cavani, right? There's still Cavani to play here, Ronaldo. So I'll still buy Bruno. And then Pogba will definitely play in the midfield. I mean, Ole did play him on the left wing, right? But there's no way he'll play in the left wing under Rangnick, because he doesn't press at all. So, I mean, he's definitely in the midfield. I think Pogba will be nailed. I mean, I got a feeling Pogba will definitely be in the team. Pogba, McTominay and Bruno. I think those three are relatively nailed. That's what I feel that will happen. So, I mean, I think if between Rashford and Sancho, I'll punt on Rashford or Sancho. If you can't afford one. But I still feel you should try to get Bruno. Don't buy Ronaldo if you don't have him.
Yeah. For me, I already have Ronaldo in my team, so I feel that it doesn't make sense for me to leave him. But if I were to get a Man U asset, I actually would look at Rashford instead as an option.
Instead of Bruno?
Instead of Bruno.
Bruno?
Yeah,
really?
Because
why?
I feel that none of the Man U assets are players that I am keen on getting at all, Ronaldo or Bruno. Right. So, but I think you need to have Man U cover for that double game week. And in terms of team structure, I think it's easier to get Sancho, Elanga, or Rashford into your team. So I think those are...
I think Sancho. Maybe I would rather Sancho.
Yeah, but they are still expensive players, though. They are 9
million.
That's
true.
So you still have to get someone out from your team to get these guys into your team. Yeah, so...
And Bruno might be on pens because Ronaldo missed the last one, but who knows?
Yeah, I mean, he missed that one, but he scored the penalty shootout.
Ronaldo, Bruno also scored.
Bruno also scored. Both scored.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
Elanga could be an interesting option if you just want a cheap cover for Man U and you don't really want to break your team. You want to have Salah on your team. Maybe you want to have De Bruyne on your team. They have good fixtures in 25 as well. So, I think if you don't have any Man U assets, I think it's no harm getting players like Ilanga at 5.2 million or 5 million. I'm not sure what his price is now.
He's 4.9 last I know.
Yeah. So So let's just transition quickly to the double game weeks.
Okay. So before we go to our teams, right? I will just quickly tell you. Do you have anything to add on the double game weeks, or you want me to start?
No. Just continue. Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay, so basically we know the game week 25 and the game week 26 double game week fixture. So I'll just tell you roughly the long-term plan. So basically game week 36, right? That will be probably the biggest game week, game week 36. So the predictions, right? Maybe there could be as much as 18 teams doubling. So for me, that will definitely be a bench boost option for me. So that's game week 36. So game week 33, right? It's a bit more complicated. It's the FA Cup semi-final weekend. There's a combination of doubles, singles, and blanks. That could be a big game week as well. So for me, game week 23, right, I will be reserving my free hit chip for game week 33.
Right.
Okay. You also need to take note that game week 33, right, you only know the fixtures after game week 33, after you know the semi-finals of the FA Cup. So game week 30 is the FA Cup quarterfinal. That will be a big blank game week. So currently, we have two confirmed fixtures. Arsenal against Aston Villa and Wolves against Leeds. So there could be as much as only these two games happening, right? So there's a chance that only these two games will happen, but most likely there'll be four fixtures. In history, right? So for me, I will reserve this chip for a free hit if there's four fixtures. If there's only two fixtures, I probably won't use the free hit. I'll probably play like five or six players. But if there's four fixtures, I'll probably free hit. So there goes my free hit plan, right? So basically, I'll tell you what will happen. That could happen, okay? So Villa and Burnley could double in 27 again. Spurs could double in 29 with Brighton. Also, Leeds could double in 29 against Villa. So basically, Villa currently has no double, right? They could easily double in 27 or 29. And 29, rather.
Right.
Yeah, so one more thing to take note is the only team that can't double until 30 is City, Man City, West Ham, and Leicester. But there's a small chance that Man City will double before 30 if they lose in the FA Cup game or something, and then the fixture might be brought forward. But that's a small chance. So just take note that City, West Ham, and Leicester, these three teams will not double until 30. And also double game week 26. Salah, triple captain, nil, right?
Yeah. For me, for sure, 26, you have to triple captain a Liverpool player. Yes. I don't think you should overthink it.
Liverpool player. So Trent also?
Yeah, so Trent is a possibility as well. I think there is, talks about Salah getting lesser minutes because there's a fixture pileup going into the League Cup final. But for me, I would definitely triple captain Salah at the moment. I mean, barring any injuries or anything, I think Salah is a
so my sure advice
triple
is
captain for him.
Salah, don't bench boost. Because it's very rare that you get a premium team with two easy fixtures, home fixtures,
agree.
The best player. So you don't bench boost. Just triple captain and then hope for the best. I mean, his EO will be 280% in my opinion. So there's no way you should bench boost. As I said, game week 36, 18 teams might double. So there's a chance to bench boost another
time. For me, don't overthink the triple captain. I hear some people on Twitter. I was on some Twitter spaces previously. I think they were suggesting this idea of bench boosting if you have a good team for 26, because there are a lot of the reason given is because their team might have a lot of doubles, and because they like to play their bench boost chip early to get it over with so that they can build their team for the rest of the season. But I feel that the triple captain is too tasty. I mean, you will never get this kind of fixtures anymore. Whether Salah gets rested or rotated or not, that's not in our hands. We play what's in front of us, right? So
yes, correct.
We just triple captain him and we'll see where that goes. Even if he's rested for one game, a triple captain of Salah against either Norwich or Leeds is still a good fixture. So I'm not too worried about having him a rotation risk for him.
You finally downloaded Twitter on the app, is it, to go to the spaces?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Yeah, anyway, one more thing on Salah I forgot to mention. If let's say he comes back on Tuesday, right, and then Klopp asks him whether he wants to play, I can guarantee you, right, he will definitely want to play against Leicester because he still wants to break records. He's currently on 16 goals this season. I mean, he'll definitely win a Golden Boot, but I mean, he wants to beat his own record on 32 goals in the season. I'm sure he will definitely want to play. So, I mean, he's a fitness monster, as I've been saying. So, I have no worry that he will, I mean, he could be rested for sure, but that will be against his will. I'm sure he will want to play every game. Yeah. Should we just go to your teams now?
Yeah, right.
Why don't you start?
Just quickly. Well, what was your plan again? So a triple captain on 26, free hit 30, is it? Possibly
yeah,
free hit 30
and 33. And then I walk at 34 or 35 before my bench boost in 36.
Right. Okay. So for me, I don't really have a loose chip plan. I know I'm going to triple captain in 26. And I'll try as much as possible not to play my chips when I don't need to. For me, I'll play
by ear. So 27
and see what my team looks
okay.
like.
Okay. So why don't we see your
For 27, I don't think from the way I've kind of planned my transfers for the next 3-4 weeks, barring any injuries, I don't think I'll be playing any chips on 27.
Okay, let's go to your team straight away now. So see, have you what are your plans? So
I'll just go with my transfer. Yeah, okay. So let me just share my screen. Let me just go with my transfer strategy this game week. So I have
zero. Why don't you say your team? Why don't you name your team for the listeners first?
Okay, so I have Ramsdale in goal. Currently, the way my team is set up, I have Ramsdale in goal. I have I'm playing a 3-4-3. Dalo, Cancelo, Alexander Arnold in my defense. Midfield, Bowen, De Bruyne, Rafinha, Madison. And up front is Watkins, King, and Ronaldo. And I have De Bruyne as my captain, and Ronaldo as my vice captain. So on my bench, actually, I have two players who are not playing, Lamptey and Alonso. And I got Brownhill who's playing.
Hey, what happened to Brownhill?
I'm not sure.
He didn't play.
He wasn't even on a bench, so I'm not sure what happened to him. Probably COVID, something. Yeah.
Again?
I'm not sure, man. Maybe injury. Yeah. So I can't actually really be bothered to check. but
you're
anyway,
2-point merchant, bro.
1-point merchant, bro.
1-point off.
No, he's a 2-point merchant in a double game week, bro.
Oh yeah, correct. Okay. To be fair, they have a few coming up, so he is your 2-point merchant because that's the only time you probably play him.
For my team, actually, I have zero in the bank.
How many transfers?
I have I only have one free transfer this game week, so I have zero in the bank. I think you mentioned about my team is my team only has Trent Alexander-Arnold. I got Salah out for because he was unavailable to AFCON, and I've never had Diogo Jota in my team, which is
so
very very different for many other teams like, basically. So I do. I feel that 26 is too big, too tasty a fixture not to triple up on Liverpool. So I am looking. So my initial transfer plan before the Liverpool games were announced actually was to go from Alonso to Luca Dean, right? And that will give me some money, but it wouldn't be enough money for me to upgrade. I wouldn't say upgrade, but to move from De Bruyne to Salah, I think I'll be short of 0.1 million. Right, so it's not something that I know I'm not getting Salah in for this game week, but what I want to do actually is I want to make a transfer that can actually give me some cash, so that if I want to make the Salah move in 25 or 26, either 25 or 26. So actually, currently, I'm planning to get him in only in 26, right? But then if I want to have the flexibility to be able to get him in 25 as well, you know? So with that transfer, Alonso to Dean, I'll need to make another transfer to be able to afford De Bruyne to Salah. Yeah. Right? So I need to look for a player that is...
So you're making? Are you planning to take a hit this game week or just one transfer?
I'm not making a hit this game week. So,
like, so you're selling Alonso.
Yeah, so I'm selling Alonso. Like you mentioned, Robbo is a better pick than
Jota.
Jota. But yeah. Then after that, I think okay, I can't afford Robbo. So who do I go for next? The person that came into my mind was Van Dijk.
Semedo.
Van Dijk is someone that came to my mind as well because I think he's nailed for that game week. And then after that, I look at my team and I know that I can't afford Van Dijk in my team because I can't go from Alonso to Van Dijk. So there's this one last player that Liverpool has in their back line that costs 4.9 million. And I think
Matip.
He is going into my team for
serious
game week.
Matip.
Yes.
Matip.
J- Joel Matip for game no. 24.
No. Are you serious? So, okay. So, Alonso to Matip.
I'm being very serious. So, Alonso to Matip will give me enough funds for me to be able to make De Bruyne to Salah if I have to. All right. So, I feel that this will allow me a triple up of Liverpool assets. I will get.
So your plan defense. Is where? So, this week will be Alonso to Matip. Then, next game week will be De Bruyne to Salah. And then, 26?
26. I think I won't get an Arsenal player in my team. I think I'm probably going to get Martinelli in my team.
Martinelli for medicine for Martinelli?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm looking at.
Or Dalot for Tony, or that'll be double up.
I don't
think you should go for Matip. I think you should go for either, in my opinion, 4.9 million, right? Semedo.
No, but Semedo, the thing is, I want to triple up on Liverpool for 26.
He's not even nailed.
I understand that he's not nailed, but at 4.9 million, I think it's a low-risk move. If he doesn't play, so basically for the double, he might not play both games. He'll play one game and maybe Konate plays another game. But I think it's an okay move to make. I think I'm just bagging like six points there.
If you play him this game, will he play ahead of who?
I'll play him ahead of Madison.
I don't think so. Surely you got Semedo or Spurs defense.
So I speak from an experience I had in the past season. So I had a good experience basically getting Joe Gomez in my team in that season where Joe Gomez was I wouldn't say he was nailed, but he was the cheapest Liverpool defender.
Centre back,
correct? Yeah. So. Like I had a good experience because I played the fixture of Liverpool and he didn't get me like any goal points. He barely gave me any bonus points, but he was just clocking in 6 points after 6 points for every fixture. And looking at Liverpool's fixtures against Leicester home, Burnley away, Norwich home, Leeds home, that's a baseline of 6 points each for Matip if he plays. If he doesn't play, he wouldn't be subbed in. So.
To be fair, he's much better than Joe Gomez. Because Joe Gomez didn't come up for corners. At least Matip is a threat. He could score the odd goal in the corners. But yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure.
And watching Matip play, whenever you watch Liverpool play, there's always this moment in the game that he lumbers up with the ball upfield. And we don't know what to expect from him.
once he gets into a good area, he doesn't know what to do. So I don't think anything will come of it.
And just have a look at Matip's record in the Premier League, right? So he's been in the Premier League since 2016, 2017, right? And for 5 seasons that he's played for Liverpool, right? No matter how many minutes he played for Liverpool, whether it was 600 minutes or 2,400 minutes, right? He's always scored one goal for Liverpool. And this season, he hasn't scored any goals for Liverpool yet. So I'm waiting for that one jammy goal that he's going to score on a corner.
Okay. So I think you're convinced already. You're convinced. So I don't think I should advise you otherwise. Yeah, should we move on to my team?
I'm going for the fun Martin move this season. This game.
Let's go on to my team. We are running long already.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, okay. So this is my team. So I'm currently set up in a 3-5-2. So I have Rambo in goal, Reguilón, Trent, and Cancelo. My five midfielders, Jota, Bowen, Saka, Bruno, Salah, and my two strikers is King and Antonio. In my bench, I have Bachmann, Broha, Johnson, and Lamptey. So I have two free transfers, and I have 0.3 in the bench. So so my plan for the next three game weeks, right, is Antonio to Odson Edward. The reason why, okay, I mean, Palace have good fixtures. They have Norwich and Brentford and then the double, right? But I know he's not nailed, but I still feel that he's in the best 11. I mean, he could be rotated, but I still think he's okay. I mean, the reason why I want to get him, right? Because after selling Antonio to him, right, I will have enough money to go from Bachmann to De Gea in game week 25. And I need a goalkeeper because Ramsdale blanks, right, the next game.
Right.
So I only have a goalkeeper. Bachmann is not playing. This will be my game week 25. And then game week 26, I will sell Bruno. I mean, I will captain Bruno lah. And then game week 26, I will sell Bruno for Sun. So game week 26, right, I will have only two players not playing double. It will be Cancelo and Bowen. The rest of my team will be doublers. My bench will be Broha, Johnson, and Lamptey. Those two are not bench. Okay, then I'll go one more if you still follow me. So game week 27, right, Liverpool and Arsenal blank, right?
So you have five players in your team, four lah.
Because I have De Gea, right?
Yeah, so it doesn't matter.
So I plan to bench Trent, Saka, and Mo, and then sell Jota. I'll still have two free transfers because I have two. I only do one. I'm rolling every game. So I'll probably sell Jota to a double gaming, maybe Aston Villa, like Buendia or Coutinho, or like if Leicester got double, it will be Madison. And then I'll sell Johnson also because I'll need this position to play. Because my bench will be Saka, Salah, and Trent. Yeah, that's my plan.
For 2027, I think there could be a possibility, a high possibility of Villa getting a double.
Yes. Jota to Buendia.
Yep.
Jota to Buendia, Johnson to Dean. That could be my double transfer. Yep.
That's a good one.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that's a solid move. I think I don't love a keeper transfer, to be honest with you.
But I need a keep.
But you need a playing keeper. I'm not sure whether you could move on from Ramsdale for good.
Yeah, but I want him in the double in 26.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So I have double. So De Gea will be my double in 25. Rambo will be my double. And then De Gea will play 27 also. So I need, yeah.
I just feel like this season we are making so many keeper transfers. That's unlike how we usually play FPL. Whenever we play FPL, our keepers rarely move. You know, yeah. So yeah, I think it makes sense. It's definitely not a move for Joao Matip. It's not something that is out of the ordinary.
And I'm going to captain Salah also. So you have. KDB is an obvious pick, right? So for me, this game week, I don't see another obvious pick. So I'll just roll the dice and go with Mo.
Yeah, I don't fancy Man U against Burnley. Burnley plays a low block, and I'm not sure whether Man U has the attacking quality to be able to break down the Burnley team. Yeah, so I if I had Salah, I would captain him. Jota could be a pick as well.
Yeah, Jota is my adoption.
He's definitely nailed also to play that game. So Cancelo is also quite an interesting option to
yeah, I'll go for Jota here or Cancelo if I want to go if I don't go with Mo.
Yeah, because for me my team has De Bruyne, so I think it's kind of obvious pick.
That's the best pick.
He was subbed out early also in the FA Cup games, which shows that Pep wants to play him in the next game now. So I'm quite happy with the De Bruyne captaincy. Yeah.
Okay. Should we end this here?
Yeah, sure.
You want to take us out?
Sure. Yeah, let's end it here. If you're still with us at this stage, thank you for taking time out to listen to us chat. Do follow us on Twitter at FPL Kopi Talks for more of our content. That is FPL Kopi Talks, KOPITALKS. And feel free to interact with us on that space. I am ABK.
And I am Lukman. Hope you enjoyed the pod. We are FPL Kopi Talks signing out. Till next time.